Hi, everyone. Welcome to part two of the series Freed from Tithing, Free to Give. My name is Joel Brzezicki. In part one, we talked about Abraham and Jacob's tithes, and we also talked a little bit about how, by necessity, if we want to teach the tithe in the church today, we have to take verses and scriptures out of context and make them out to be something that they were never meant to be. And I explained that in part one, and we'll further that point and back it up here in part two as we look at the actual tithing laws that were given in the Old Testament. Now, a lot of people, of course, and we'll get into Malachi, a lot of people will zero right in on Malachi 3, which says, bring your tithes to the storehouse. And they'll say that because it says that, then that means Christians need to bring 10% of their income to a church. That in and of itself, it doesn't fit, but as we look at Malachi and as we look at the scriptures that lead up to Malachi, I think we'll understand even more why that just doesn't make any sense. So let's get into it. Now, we're going to take a look at several things here. Please stay with me, and as we work through these scriptures. We need to find out why the tithes were given in the first place. So that's one reason why I'm going through these scriptures. And don't worry, I'm not going to bore you to death by giving you a whole ton of scriptures, because I copied all of the tithing verses from my PC Study Bible, and I pasted them into a Word document, and I ended up with almost 6 full pages of a Word document. And so we're not going to bore you with all those scriptures, but we're going to at least see what the tithes were all about, the reason that the tithes were given, and hopefully we'll see that they don't fit into a new covenant context. Now, notice that the old covenant system was set up for specific reasons at a specific time, and there were specific people involved in that system, the Jews. All of these laws were given for the Jews, and it was several years after Abraham's tithe and after Jacob's tithe. Now, one thing that I noticed as I was preparing for this, one thing that just an idea that popped into my mind, or something that popped in my head, was that even the Jews who knew about Abraham and who knew about Jacob, between that period, between Abraham's tithe and Jacob's tithe and the giving of the Old Covenant, the Jews didn't say to themselves, look at this, Abraham tithe and Jacob tithe, and so that's something we should do. There's a concept we should follow. They didn't think any such thing, and yet Christians today will say Abraham tithe and Jacob tithe, and so there's a standard that we need to set up for Christian giving. But again, that concept wasn't even thought of by the Jews. The tithing concept didn't come back into play until the Old Covenant was given. And again, there were specific reasons that these Old Covenant laws came into place and the tithing laws came into place. And as I said, we need to understand who the Levites were, so let's start with that. In this Old Covenant system, when it was set up, God had set aside the Levite tribe for specific functions and duties. There were 12 tribes altogether, and the Levite tribe was no more special than anybody else. They weren't of a higher ranking than anybody else. Nothing like that. They weren't superior. They were simply set aside for a specific set of duties that the other 11 tribes were not set aside for. And what happened was the Lord had given what he called an inheritance to 11 of the tribes, but to the Levite tribe he had given no such inheritance. And what this was that the 11 tribes were given land where they could have crops and flocks and herds so that they could provide food for themselves. The Levite tribe was given no such inheritance. That's what the Lord himself said. He said, Jehovah himself will be their inheritance. That's in Numbers 18. And it continues on. The Lord says, behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes of Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. You see what it was all about? It was so that the tithes were set up so that the Levite tribe could feed themselves. That was really what it was all about, because the Lord had not provided a way for the Levites to provide for themselves. And so they had to rely on the other 11 tribes. Again, that's why the tithing laws were set up in the first place. That's really as simple as that. And unfortunately, we take these tithing laws in the church and we try to translate them into the new covenant, and we say that the tithes are 10% of our income and the storehouse is the church, and it just does not fit. And as we look at more of these tithing laws, we'll see that even more and more. In fact, let's look at this verse, a couple of passages actually, Deuteronomy 12 and Deuteronomy 14. See if this is going to preach in churches today. When you're preaching the tithe, if you say that people should tithe, give 10% of their income to a church, and you look in the Old Covenant passages for scriptures about tithing, how about this one, or these two? I'll read them both together. Deuteronomy 12, 6 and 7, it says, "You shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offering of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your flocks and herds. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand." All right, that's Deuteronomy 12. And then Deuteronomy 14, 24. We'll start at 24. See, the Lord had set aside a place, various places, where the people were to bring their tithes. The Lord says, "If the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry your tithe," and again, what was the tithe? The tithes were food, herds and flocks and crops, and it was all food. If the place is too far for you, so that you're not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or strong drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. You shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. So a few things to point out here. Again, making the point that the tithes were all about eating. The tithes were about providing food for people. In these two cases, in Deuteronomy 12 and Deuteronomy 14, it had to do, a lot of it had to do with the people actually eating the tithes themselves. They didn't give it to anybody. They actually ate it themselves. And then, of course, at the end of this one, they were not to forsake the Levite, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. So again, they were to provide for the Levites so that the Levites could eat. It all had to do with eating. The tithes were food, and it all had to do with eating. It does not translate into the new covenant. At the end of Deuteronomy 14, it talks about an every third year tithe, where it says, "You shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates." And this is all for the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates, so that, quote, they may come and eat and be satisfied. Okay, so the tithing laws were all set up because there were specific people under this covenant who could not provide for themselves. Either they were widowed, or they were orphans, or they were the Levites, or the strangers who came, who they had no way to provide for themselves. And so the tithes were set aside to feed these people. That's really what it was all about. All of this was directly relational to the old covenant under which they lived. And again, to try to translate this into the new covenant, you really have to twist and manipulate things, because it just doesn't fit. And when you think about it, there were all kinds of laws that were given. You know, the tithing laws, when we look in Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and all the places where the tithing laws were given, there were also a number of other laws that were given, quite a few. Like in the same places where the tithing laws were given, it says that a man shall not shave the sides of his face. It says people should not wear clothing of mixed linen, and they shouldn't sow mixed seed into a field. Also, that they weren't allowed to eat anything that came from the seas or the rivers that didn't have scales and fins. So they could eat fish, but they weren't allowed to eat crab legs and lobster and things like that. And so the church today will say, no, we're not under those laws. You know, we're not under those laws, but yet we'll take from those same passages will zero in on the tithing laws, and they'll say that we need to follow these. At least that's a concept that we should follow. And it just doesn't make sense to me that we should pick and choose which ones of those we keep, because actually, in all reality, we're not under any of them. We're under a new covenant way of giving, which is to give freely as your heart has decided to cheerfully give. We'll get into that in part four, of course, as I've already mentioned. So anyway, a lot of other questions come up, like, should I tithe off of the gross of my income or off the net of my income? Should I tithe off of the increase? What does it mean to tithe off the increase or out of the first fruits? Again, all of those things, all of those concepts were Old Covenant concepts, and they fit in the context of that covenant, but they don't fit in the New Covenant context, and so we just don't even need to be concerned with that. Well, we're going to lead up to Malachi now. Just a couple of other verses to read. Deuteronomy 26 and 2 Chronicles 31, they give some other tithing instructions. I won't actually read those, but you can look those up yourselves. And there's a little bit more about the storehouse and the tithes in Nehemiah 12 and 13. What was the storehouse? Think about that word, storehouse. What were the tithes? The tithes were food, herds and flocks, and it was crops that the people were able to eat. So the storehouse was simply the place where the food was brought to be stored before the Levites, the fatherless, the widows, and the strangers were able to come get the food to eat it. It's as simple as that. That's what the storehouse was. It wasn't a church. It wasn't a place where people came to meet and to hear sermons and sing and worship and praise and all that stuff. It was simply a place where food was stored. Again, it's really that simple. It's really that simple. Well, let's talk about, as we wrap up here, Nehemiah and Malachi. First, Nehemiah, because Nehemiah and Malachi have very similar stories. Nehemiah had come, and he had come to Jerusalem, and he found out that many, many things were going wrong with the people. They were not following the laws and precepts that had been set up for them, including the tithing laws. So Nehemiah says, I also realized that the portions for the Levites had not been given to them, for each of the Levites and the singers who did the work had gone back into his field. Now remember, they weren't supposed to do that. The Levites were not supposed to do that. They had been given no inheritance. They weren't supposed to work the fields. They were supposed to be focused on the specific duties that God had set them aside for. The other 11 tribes were supposed to bring the tithes of food so that the Levites could eat. So this was drastically wrong. And so Nehemiah says, why is the house of God forsaken? And he says, I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then all Judah brought the tithe of the grain and the new wine and the oil to the storehouse. So again, the Levites could finally eat again without having to do the work themselves, because they weren't supposed to do that. So we see many ways that Nehemiah found not just the tithing things, but many ways. And at the same time, in a different place, but at the same time, Malachi comes along and he finds many, many things were wrong with the people. There were many ways that they were transgressing, again, including the tithes. So Malachi comes along. Now, read Malachi, not just chapter 3, and not just a few verses from chapter 3, but if you read it from start to finish, you'll find that there were many things that Malachi had found were wrong. Okay, and so if we're going to follow Malachi 3 and the tithing laws in Malachi 3, then we also need to follow the rest of the things that he found were wrong. But I don't think the church wants to go there, do they? So anyway, Malachi 3, as you know, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, and so on and so forth. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now again, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. The food was to feed people. The food was not to pay salaries and to pay for church buildings and all of these other things. Again, you really have to twist things and take them way out of context in order to make them fit into a new covenant system. It just does not work. So these instructions were for specific people, for a specific time, for specific purposes, and they do not fit into the new covenant. We're not meant to Christianize these things. We're not meant to try to put a new covenant spin on them. The new covenant is a whole new thing. It's a whole new way of life. And we are all priests in this kingdom. And we'll get into that in the next part, in part three. And also in part three, we'll get into lots of other things where the tithing, the concept of tithing was mentioned in the New Testament. Jesus mentioned the tithe a couple of times, and the book of Hebrews in chapter 7 talks about the tithe. It talks about Abraham's tithe and the significance of it, and I think when we get there, you might be surprised that it has nothing to do with tithing to a church. But we'll save that for part 3, which is coming up next, so stay tuned with us as we talk more about why we can be freed from tithing and free to give.